think I've ever
slathered
been.
Up.
Didn't have any tables at the Applebee's, so we're now at the Texas Roadhouse across the street.
Throwing her own peanuts on the floor.
Exactly. I brought my own, goddammit. You cannot keep that from me, motherfuckers.
I'm mashing them all up under the booth.
I do that at every restaurant I go to. It's the like little kids smashing Cheerios in a booth, the Cheerio to peanut pipeline.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. We love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
You never been to one, Brian?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. It's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know, man, it's just a fucking restaurant to me. Like, yeah. If I've been there, maybe once or twice, but yeah, can't.
If you're having to choose out of the parking lot of a mall... I would say the Texas Roadhouse is probably your best bet. It's not too expensive, yeah. And the meat's okay. Like, it's fine. It's not Applebee's. You know, you're getting, you know, no offense to our alma mater, but it's...
See, I have a weird thing for... There's the Patriot-owned Mission Barbecue chain, which I don't know if you know about that.
I don't know what that is.
No.
It's basically, like, I think it's run by ex-veterans, and there's one near my, one of the mountain bike trails that I go to.
Yeah.
So I'll pop in there sometimes for dinner, and it's, like, for $20, you get, like, half a rack of ribs, bunch of sides, like, it's pretty solid, and it's pretty fast, and it's, you know, again, I'm not a huge judge of barbecue, but, you know, I always enjoy it, so at a
sheer
all
that matters.
It works, yeah.
All
I tend
matters.
To avoid any place with the name Patriot in the title, but
it says it's Mission Barbecue. But when you go in there, it's like, oh, this is very clearly some veteran-owned bullshit. So,
yeah,
and I think they're promoting vehicle as like some army truck that sits outside. So,
nice.
You know, they make their
what kind of barbecue is it? Just random generic.
Oh,
just yeah, Ohio you're barbecue.
It's not an Ohio thing, first off.
Ohio
I don't know
barbecue,
where they're from originally.
Which is just cold bologna on top of spaghetti or some weird shit like you guys do out there.
Listen, I'm not from Ohio, so it doesn't really offend me too much. B, like,
but
while I like barbecue, I don't really care about barbecue. Like, it's not the first thing I'm going to go for when you say, where do you want to eat, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm always down to go, but it's certainly not the top of the list for me. But yeah, when you get good barbecue, though, you gotta do it. For all you Carolina listeners out there, I went to Midwood Smokehouse last time I was in town, and that place is pretty fucking good, if you don't mind me saying it. I don't know if that's a popular opinion, but I really enjoyed the shit out of that, so... We'll go there next time we're all in town together. We'll go to Sabor, and then we'll go there, and then we'll go to the Beaver.
Just go to Lancaster's.
Never been.
It's a wall-to-wall NASCAR stuff on the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've heard about that spot. Yeah. We should go there. We'll do a tour of barbecue when we're there.
It's got
How's that
a school
sound?
Bus inside of it.
The spiritual successor to the Sandwich Construction Company, which I always wanted to go to as a child.
Yeah.
But hey, folks, welcome to Applebee's. This is your barbecue chain podcast, apparently.
Yeah. We're breaking them down today, folks. Every strip mall in the United States, every mall, every Simon property, we're going through and we're picking out all the barbecue and we're ranking them 1 to 10. 1 being the highest and 10 being the lowest. That's our little quirk.
Yep. I'm Brian. I'm one of your three hosts, and I haven't had any barbecue in a while, but now I guess I gotta have some for dinner. I'm here with Rob, who I think just had some barbecue, and Ashley, who I don't know when she was last eating barbecue.
I don't know, and I'm thinking about it now.
There you go. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you next week.
We really did just talk about barbecue for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, this will all make sense in a few minutes when we get to the Kenny Wallace portion of the show. But But we were in Nashville. Speaking of places of barbecue, home of Peg Leg Porker. I know that's a pretty good spot there. And I know there's another one in Nashville that's pretty good. Is it Martin's, I think?
Okay, yeah, I was curious
that place
about
this. Good.
I was curious about the Peg Leg Porker sticker that was on somebody's fucking car. So there, thank you for answering that question.
Yeah,
for me.
It's pretty close to downtown. We always end up stopping in there because it's close proximity to some other shit we go to. And it's always pretty damn good. I look forward to it. I circle it on my list of places to go when I'm in Nashville, and there's fewer of them every time I go. But Peg Leg is always up in there, so.
I know you recommended it to me last time I was in Nashville, but I tried to go, and the line was so long.
It's brutal.
The door that I was hungover. I was like, nope.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know, like, there's got to be better barbecue in town, and I don't know if it's just its proximity to downtown or the Gulch or whatever the fuck it is. But
it's got a fun name.
Yeah, if it's just a place to go that people know about, and that's why it's busy. But it is actually pretty good. So
is that place huge? Because now I'm remembering, like, when I went to Nashville in 2019 with my family, we went to some big, massive barbecue place that was downtown that was pretty popular, but I can't think of what that.
That's probably Martin's. Martin's.
Oh, it was Martin's.
The Peg Leg is big, and I think they got a big roof deck now. But Martin's is also pretty big. I love how we like made the joke about it being a barbecue podcast, and now we're just straight back into it. It's actually more fun to talk about than racing.
That's not true. I mean, I shouldn't say it was a decent weekend of racing. Depends on who your driver was this weekend, because I feel like there's a lot of mixed emotions. You know, I was excited, but I'm not one of those people that like.
You don't like to enjoy a win.
I enjoy it. But
you hate it
like,
when your favorite driver, who is Ross Chastain, apparently, you hate it when he wins.
Listen, I was excited, but you know, at this point in my life, you know, I'm not on the fucking team. I'm not incredibly invested in any. I like the sport more than I like individual drivers.
That's true.
It was great to see him win. Like I was excited. I didn't really think. I don't know. I have this weird thing in my head that I feel like when drivers get the pole, it's tougher for them to win the actual race. I don't know why that is in my head, but, you know.
Well, I mean, wire to wire is pretty tough these days. You don't see it that often, so.
But he did it. I mean, he didn't lead the whole thing, but he led a good portion of it and had a pretty dominant car most of the race.
That was pretty. It wasn't like an MTJ mud hole stomper, but it was pretty damn close. It was good. Before we get too far into it, I don't want to set the wrong tone here. I really enjoyed Nashville this weekend a lot, and I really am going to be sad if they do move away from that place, because it races great, and I really. Even when it got kind of strung out in the first stage, when I think everyone was kind of biding their time for the sunset to come and the shade to come across the track, I thought that was pretty killer racing, and I enjoyed the shit out of that. So,
and I didn't see any of the truck race. Carson won that.
It was pretty good.
Uneventful, but the Xfinity race was good. I did watch that. And
shit show. Xfinity race was a shit show. Yeah. It was just crash. Yeah,
street stock
crash,
feature.
Crash.
In that sense, it was fun to watch.
The definition of cautions, breed cautions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb, but it was still fun. So, who even won that shit? I can't even remember. I watched so much racing this weekend.
The Dinger.
That's right.
Yeah, Dinger.
AJ.
Cole Custer was very upset about it.
Wrecked himself into a win.
Apparently a bunch of drivers were talking about that, but Cole was the one that, like, I think his quote got around social media. But I remember long before AJ even got the lead, drivers, I guess, were bitching about that, because it happened early in the race, I guess.
Yeah, it did. Pretty early on, he got that quarter panel tore up, and it just really helped out. So congrats to him. He needed a win, but that's the sort of thing that you got to wonder if NASCAR is going to do something about it in the future. What can they even do? You know, you're going to make somebody come down pit road. Well, I guess so, actually. They parked Josh Williams for not coming down and getting a piece of tape off, so I don't think it's unfair to take a car off the track that has a crazy advantage because of damage. But I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Instead, they took Cole Custer's car to R&D after the race.
Yeah, for his bad attitude.
Yeah.
I just think that the Fender deal has happened so many times that, like, you would think that they would have already made a rule, but they haven't. So I don't know how all of a sudden now it's time to enforce it, you know, but.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, it was Fender, not the quarter panel, right?
I guess you want, I don't know, I'm bad with all the exact panels, but it was behind the rear wheel and the bumper. Like, I guess that's technically the...
I was right then.
Yeah. Well, fuck you.
Here I'm apologizing for shit I didn't even need to apologize for. But yeah, Nashville was great. I really enjoyed it. I don't know what the fuck Daniel Suarez was doing at the end of that.
Oh, he was just going up to say hi, but was like chilling. Clearly.
That was Chase more on Briscoe.
Yeah.
Briscoe was like flooring it into pit road, passing all kinds of cars on the outside.
Yeah, he's not having a good time right now. Fucking guy.
Yeah, that was just kind of embarrassing for both of them.
Well, I guess, piggybacking off that, we have to talk about the big Stewart Haas announcement that wasn't exactly what we thought it was going to be.
Not yet. Yeah, we'd heard some rumblings, and I mean, the Josh Berra thing was like the worst kept secret in all of sports. I mean, I think everybody knew that shit was going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting fewer and fewer vibes that buyout is happening. At least not this year. I feel like if it's going to happen, maybe 2024.
You just gave them a clue. You just gave the fuckers a clue.
That's fine. They'll figure it out. I didn't say who was buying it out. I just said a buyout. Because the other quote that happened or that came from Tony Stewart from that whole thing was, I forget who asked him, but somebody asked him about Ford, their relationship with Ford, and they're like, well, we're contractually obligated for 2023. He didn't make it sound like he was excited or thrilled to still be working with them. So.
Well, I mean, would you be? I mean, Chase Briscoe's running like 76th place every week.
I guess part of me wonders, is that due to the fact that, you know, again, while we never got anything official out of it, it definitely seemed like Tony was maybe trying to court Dodge for a while with the whole drag racing team relationship.
Well, there is a rumor that, and I think it's not even like a quiet rumor anymore, that there may be some manufacturer changes in the future here. And, you know, it's open to speculation, you know, Josh Berry's relationship with Chevrolet and Junior and all these other people, you know, like, it just kind of seems like maybe the team is moving in that direction. You know, it seems a little more plausible now that Josh is over there, but who knows, you know, what's actually going to happen. It just seems like maybe something could come out of that would lead you to believe that maybe there's going to be some sort of manufacturer change, especially with how poor they've been performing. It would certainly be an easy excuse for why they dropped off a cliff this year. Harvick is as consistent as he is. You know, I think that's really telling of just how good of a race car driver Kevin Harvick still is, rather than, you know, the rest of that team being dog shit. You know, I think it's all bad.
Yeah.
Because Harvick's the least bad, so...
It wouldn't be Tony's first time switching manufacturers.
Ford in the first place was quite the surprise. So
I mean, yes and no, I guess. I think him going back to Chevy would be actually probably more of a surprise to me. I think just because it seems like Chevy's pretty full up now. Maybe they have a tiny bit more room without Legacy involved anymore. But I mean, it's not like Legacy was at Hendrick level or anything like that. Yeah. So who the fuck knows?
Well, that's the thing, is like the manufacturer stuff. And again, like, I don't think any of us really know what we're talking about when it comes to this stuff. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But you know,
Mazda.
You're definitely trying to step up when it comes to help from the manufacturer and the development and sort of R&D and that kind of thing. And you're right, like, is there really a place, you know, with Hendrick being the obvious big dog and then Trackhouse really stepping up and, you know, kicking some ass this year, like, do you really want to be the fourth or fifth place Chevrolet team when you're already like the fourth or fifth place Ford team and it's not really working out for you, you know? Like,
it ain't like he's gonna go to Toyota. That's not fucking happening. And I mean, this is gonna sound weird, but I mean, Ford barely even sells cars in the U.S. anymore. Who knows how much longer Ford even has involved in NASCAR? You know, it's crazy to actually think about that, but it could. Stranger things have happened to see them leave.
Yeah, that is a possibility, I suppose. But that's that would be fucking crazy. But we'll talk about that when we get there. That is not the rumor that we heard, by the way. Ford is packing up and going home.
That's just me putting that out there. That's all.
Yeah. Speaking of teams, a little bit of a rumble that Andretti is, again, he does this every few years. You know, there's always a rumor that Michael Andretti's joining every single racing series he's not already in. But I guess they're rattling that cage again right now. So that'd be kind of cool to see if that came to fruition. More teams are always better. So hopefully that happens, especially since F1 is kind of giving him the runaround.
Yeah, and plus now that, you know, I'm assuming this is Marco Andretti driving, right? Wouldn't be Michael doing it. He's got some SRX, and you know, that could essentially be viewed as stock car experience now. So I mean,
yeah, Marco knows how to drive a car like everybody else in the truck series by just taking it 3 wide when he doesn't need to and just slamming it into shit. You know, like he did that at SRX and he did pretty well. So maybe he does have a future in NASCAR. I don't know.
That's fair. So what else we got on the list to talk about? Let's talk about that kid with the shopping cart full of fucking diecasts. I know we were good. That was something that was talked about because I have a take on that, and I'll Rob, you can set the stage.
Well, that was
the Darf.
Who posted it? It was JTG, right? It was like a fan day kind of thing or an event at a Kroger,
and they had
the drivers all out there. You know, with the drivers. I look like there was more than one, but Ricky was like the guy.
I tried looking this up because I'll save it for my take. But yeah, this kid is sitting there and he's got a.
It was like a fan fest thing. We'll say that. Yeah.
He's got a shopping cart full of diecasts and he's sitting there with Ricky Stenhouse and he's showing him the car and Ricky's just got this like. People say it's like a 1,000-mile stare. I think they're just engaged in conversation. That was just the moment.
You can definitely tell he's glancing at the shopping cart and trying to figure out how many of those are meant for him.
Yeah. Well, that's and here's my point is I looked at that photo and oddly enough, like. I think half of them in there are Allmendinger ones. I don't even see any other Stenhouse cars, but I definitely saw a couple different drivers in there. The kid is wearing a Stenhouse shirt. You know, he's definitely not one of those dickhead resellers that I see places, and I've now noticed at the track. He definitely was kind of a, you know, just a fan. I felt bad for him. Somebody found the kid's profile and like he was just a fan. He's not somebody eBaying all these things.
Yeah,
should you show up to an event with a shopping cart full of diecast? Probably not.
Not unless you're selling them.
Even then you shouldn't be doing that.
Straight away, buddy, just have him sign and set up a booth right next to Ricky and undercut his ass.
AJ was probably at the event and saw that shopping cart rolling up and went and hid somewhere. So
that's why he won that race. He was doing his best to get the hell out of Dodge before that kid found him as fast as he could go. But yeah, don't do that. Don't bring a shopping cart of anything to a race unless
it's beer.
Unless it's cold beer. Yeah, then we can do it. But Jesus, yeah, certainly not autographs and shit. But so he was just a fan, huh?
Just a fan. No, that's all he was. So I just felt bad for him. Like, you know, I'm not an autograph guy myself. I can't even think of the last time I had anything signed by anyone. And yeah, as an adult, I think it's kind of a weird thing to be a real autograph hound. I'm the type that, you know, I just want a photo. Say hi and get a photo. That's about as far as I get.
Yeah.
You just got to read social cues and, like, know your limits. And read the room.
I think with a lot of collectors, on the spectrum,
I don't think there's any
not
fucking limits
social
there.
Cues. Yeah, like it's some people just don't have the ability to do that. So
you need someone in your life to read the room for you. Then,
yeah, good lord, I tell you what, I would not want to work at Plan B or at Lionel. I bet you that customer service hotline is just a fucking nightmare of just one-way conversations. Good God.
Well, from what I see, at least at the Lionel, you know, from the people that I know that do collect, I guess Lionel's customer service in general is really bad, which, again, I think from that perspective, yeah, who knows who to believe there in that sense, but I don't think too many people are happy with Lionel in general as far as their diecasts, and, like, the quality is really shitty. And,
Have you guys been to the Lionel outlet at the mall at the Concord Mills?
I don't think so, no.
No, but my buddy Isaac, who used to live in Charlotte and just moved back to Wisconsin, I guess he would say that place never even had anything good anyways. Like, it was just the shit you'd
see. Well, it's all brand new stuff, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but you would think that, like, at an outlet like that, there'd be some more exclusive or weirder stuff there instead of just, like, the shit everybody else gets. But maybe that's just me. Yeah,
but there's definitely a lot of the shopping cart types there, to put it nicely. And it is one hell.
Between where he got his shopping cart at.
Between that and the model trains in there, it is a vibe in there. So.
So, Rob, did I just ruin the DARF of the week then?
No.
With bringing that up?
No. Actually, don't really have much of a DARF of the week. We can get to that in a little bit, though. It's more of a spiritual, like, group that I would like to talk shit about.
I was gonna nominate myself for that position after what I said last week on the show, and then immediately booking myself to go to 4 races in 6 days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. A redemption arc, if you will. I actually had people who don't even like racing reach out to me and was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? I'm not even kidding.
That's weird.
My buddies are like, this guy doesn't like racing? What does he have a show for? I'm just like,
it's not. Listen, you motherfuckers.
Brian,
if you want to criticize me, I will show you some photos of me at fucking dirt tracks in 1989. Do not talk to me about being a race fan. Eat my ass.
That was the 80s, what I was saying, buddy.
We have unleashed Twitter, Brian.
Yeah, he's here. This is what it sounds like when you read his Twitter. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, at least what I was saying last week on the show is I try to spread myself across a few different things, and I feel like at least this point in my life, there have been times in my teens and 20s where I was full throttle engaged with like one specific thing, whether it be bikes or music or as a kid,
no,
NASCAR.
I get it, yeah.
Now as an adult, you know, I have a bunch of different things I'm into. I definitely hate all of it sometimes. I'll tell you that much. But
I just appreciate the redemption arc here, like the universe just like listening to you speak, saying, you know, I don't really like, you know, I don't have it in me to do all this. I don't want to do it. And then immediately having a complete week full of just different races, different disciplines all across the fucking United States.
Yep. So I'd already planned on going next weekend. I already have a ticket to go to the truck race here in Mid-Ohio, and you know, of course I'm going to go to that. It's an hour away from me. Some friends of mine, Mike from First 7-Inch Club being one of them, were kind of planning this trip to Atlanta to go to the cup race, because Mike actually, he hasn't ever been to a cup race, even though he's at least as you know, as a teen, he kind of followed it because his family was into racing. And now as an adult, he's kind of gotten back into it, mainly because of gambling. But
that's where they'll get you.
Again, that's what he did. But he's wanted to go to a race for a while. And Chicago, when that came up, a few of us had talked about going to that because he's in Chicago. But for $300 general admission seats for a road course, fuck off. Like, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
And neither was he, like, even though it's down the street from him.
Yeah.
So an Atlanta trip was talked about, and I originally didn't think I was going to be able to do it because, like, I was going to drive, and you know, I mentioned before, money was a little tight. It's starting to get back up. You know, I'm starting to be back in a better spot. And when I noticed plane tickets were only $100, mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, I basically booked myself a 36-hour trip. We are actually going to be sitting only 6 rows away from Ashley, so we're going to be very close. That was just a happy accident. Mike had already purchased the tickets. Mike also said acted like he bought the worst tickets in the world on the show last week. That's a complete falsehood.
The world,
so anyways,
the people versus Brian.
Yes, I'm just airing out all my grievances tonight. So yeah, going to the cup race, excited about that. And then I noticed the Brad Doty World of Outlaws race is,
see, this is where it gets
Tuesday,
good, folks.
The Tuesday after I come home, it's like, well, fuck, it's at Attica. It's that's another race. It's like not even an hour for me. It's like, well,
no excuse. No fucking excuse.
I've been to an Outlaws race for years. I still have never been to a World of Outlaws race, and now's my chance. Like, all right, I'm going to that. And finally, the weekend of the 15th, I'm going out to Syracuse, New York to hang out with my dad and go to this big car show at the fairgrounds there. But on Friday, I'm going to be going to Utica, Rome to check out some modified racing, which is another track I've never been to. But again, I love dirt modified, so
yeah, it's a legendary spot.
Yeah,
so you're going to a place called Attica and then a place called Utica.
Yeah, Utica,
yes.
Rome Speedway.
Okay,
it's dirt again, dirt. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's dirt.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it pavement for a while? Because I know Richie Evans raced there a little bit, and I can't remember if they switched back and forth like Syracuse used to do.
I think you're thinking of Oswego switchback.
Or Oswego does it too, yeah. Because they do super dirty.
I'm
getting all my shit mixed up, so.
Well, the Western New York tracks, A, there's so many of them, and B, like, they all kind of have weird histories, so,
yeah.
You know, I'm confused myself on that. But, no, both Oswego and Fulton County aren't running that weekend, so Utica-Rome was my only option as far as racing in that part of the country.
Still, been there a long time. Glad it's still there. I'm very excited for you to get to go experience that.
So that's four races in 6 days, folks.
God bless you. That's fun shit. I love doing those sort of racecations, if you will. They don't come up very often, but yeah.
Pack your tums. Bring some snacks.
Yeah,
it's the luxury you have when
Bush Light, peach, or watermelon, or whatever.
Put your comfy shoes on.
I haven't planned my drinking for the trip yet. I've got two different cooler bag options for Atlanta, so we'll see what happens. I know my friends all have different
Are you making
ideas
cocktails? getting a fucking program together.
I'm going. So I'm, again, the people I'm going to, some of them are hard partiers. I haven't seen them in years, so I don't know how much they still party now that we're all in our 40s or just about. But they all were hard partiers. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
Well, no better place to party than a racetrack, and particularly at a plate race like Atlanta, which is weird to say that it's a plate race, but it is. But
it's always fun to take your friends to their like first race experience.
Yeah, got to take them down to the fence, let them get their hat blown off, you know, make them take their earplugs out once, scare the shit out of them, make them take a deep breath, you know, make them pick out a favorite driver and buy a shitty $40 t-shirt from Fanatics, you know, the whole thing.
The full experience.
So what is, like, the gypsy tent deal at Atlanta? That's a question I've been meaning to ask you guys for a while. Is that still a thing you see down there, or is it sort of...
I don't know, but I need to know because that's part of my whole
I honestly
race
don't
day
know where they're located, now. Atlanta. I feel like they're kind of spaced out along the road, like, coming into the track.
Yeah.
I don't really recall seeing many
Every
on
track.
The actual ground. Like, maybe there's a couple guys in the parking lot with some t-shirts on the ground.
Well, yeah, the gypsy deal, like, they're not, most of them are never actually on track property, at least not anymore. In the 90s they were, but now not so much. And they're all in the outskirts or blocks away or, you know,
like
half
the
mile
gas station, McDonald's across the street.
Yeah, gas station.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that will be one thing I do while those guys are doing whatever is probably just take a lap around and try to find all that stuff. Because, again, as I was about to say before, as... doing what I do, selling old shit, allows me to go on trips like this, but I also have to go and actually find the stuff. So at races is a great place to do that, as Ashley watched me buy 7 Martin Truex shirts at North Wilkesboro.
Yeah, I was trying to get in to see the start of the very first truck race there in 20 some odd years, and Brian is buying 7 Martin Truex shirts.
It was a great deal, and those shirts are worth something, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
I actually, my favorite purchase from one of those was one of those bootleg Dick Trickle shirts. Says, "Racing makes my dick trickle." I bought it for my wife, and she wears it all the time. So, yeah, you can find all sorts of magic in those places. And if you're a first-time visitor and you don't want to spend a bunch of money on official merchandise, which, by the way, that money doesn't go to the fucking drivers anyway, for the most part. And it all goes to Fanatics and all that shit. So stop by those tents. Maybe you'll find something cool that you can take home with you. Or if you want to fit in and blend in a little bit, you yourself can buy 7 Martin Truex t-shirts. Or you can buy those exact t-shirts at a significant markup from Brian at Speedway Screens. So...
You absolutely can. Maybe I'll put a discount code just for that shirt particular.
Discount
t-shirt
code made Ashley wait.
It was a Bass Pro Shops rookie year all over print t-shirt. Okay.
That's cool.
What was the one in the parking lot? It said something like, "It's race day, bitch," or something.
Oh, that one. Yeah. It said, like, I forget what it said on the front, but in the back it just said, "It's race day, bitch." And I really wanted one of those, but on Sunday the guy wasn't there, unfortunately.
Sold out.
So, but I'm sure, because I've seen those shirts at every race I've been to this year, which has only been 2 or 3. But you know, I'm sure they'll be in Atlanta also.
He'll
so
probably
maybe I'll
be
get
there.
My opportunity
Atlanta.
There.
But if you see a tent in like a fucking Circle K parking lot outside of a racetrack, go in.
Yeah.
Go in. It's always worth it. Even if there's nothing really that good in there, it's always nice to pop in and buy a koozie or something like that.
Yeah, you'll save a few bucks, and maybe you'll find something weird. Again, you'll find a lot of weird, old, dirty shit that people have been hauling around for 25 years. But
lots of stickers, like decals, hats, everything, you know, and diecast too. So it's always a nice little place to bring home a souvenir and help out somebody who lives in an RV. But
yeah,
and sadly, it's kind of a dying thing. You know, they've been COVID didn't really do much good for them, and like as time has moved on and NASCAR is becoming more niche and a lot of the old school shit started disappearing, it got a little bit more modern and a little bit less interesting. It's a lot of Dale Jr. diecast too. So,
yeah. Although I will say last year at Bristol when we went for the dirt race, yeah. There were more gypsy tents there than I'd seen probably since the 90s.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was cool.
Yeah, Bristol has a huge one. Charlotte has a pretty good little group.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, merch shit.
I drank Four Loko with a guy from Alabama with a really big knife on sticking out of his cargo shorts inside one of those one morning. Like a Sunday morning, and we had a couple drinks.
A little breakfast?
Beverage. Yeah. That's how we do up in New Hampshire, I guess.
Oh, speaking of New Hampshire, Rob, what do you think of the wicked New Hampshire commercials that were running all weekend?
I don't know, they're all bad. They've always been bad. I splatter that shit all over the walls. I don't even know if anyone really says that shit. I mean, I guess I do say wicked, but it's not like, I don't know.
Well, you're not even from Boston. I mean, you live in Worcester, but
it's true.
It's a New England. I mean, I just don't think of the whole wicked thing outside of
wicked
Boston.
Wicked fucking like, bastard. Like, fuck.
I spent plenty of time in New Hampshire and Maine and stuff, and like, that's not even that. There's not even that pronounced of an accent by most people in those places. I mean, you'll hear it once in a while, but
I mean, New Hampshire's just Arkansas with the accent reversed, pretty much. It's like same shit. But there's rednecks everywhere, man. I do love New Hampshire. I'm not shitting on it, but but yeah, Loudon's coming up too. I don't know. I guess my camping plans have fallen through, so I will be there for the entire weekend, though. Probably sleeping in my car and getting even shittier now that it's just me cruising. So hit me up if you're going to be at Loudon, folks. I think I might even go over to Lee and watch Kyle Busch race a pro stock. That sounds like fun. So
when's that happening? Friday?
That's Friday night, yeah. So that's actually, okay, if you want to make a racecation, that's a good weekend to do it up here because there's all sorts of shit happening. Of course, I think the Stafford SRX race already sold out, unfortunately, but that's happening Thursday. You got Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin running there, so that's fun. Kyle Busch is running a pro stock at Lee on Friday night. That's only about 40 minutes away from Loudon. There's also the dirt track at Loudon on Friday night, and then, of course, the Modifieds Xfinity on Saturday, Cup on Sunday, whole thing. It's a blast. It's a blast of a weekend. It's one of my favorite NASCAR weekends, and I've been to a few around the country, and there's just so much going on up here. And you don't think New England is a big place for racing if you've never been here before, but, yeah, looking forward to that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of short tracks, there was a lot of that this weekend. I think I said this last week. There's so much fucking racing happening right now. It's hard to even focus.
I didn't see any short track racing, so yeah. You can tell us all about it.
Well, I'll just do a quick rundown here, I guess. Firecracker 100 happened. RTJ won that yet again. He's just cleaning up in the late model world. David Gravel winning $250,000 at Husetts. In the World of Outlaws there. It's the biggest show they've ever paid out, yeah. Which is crazy. And then the Eldora Millions coming up pretty soon, too. That's not an outlaw show, but still pretty much a good chunk of the big boys will be there. I don't think the car count's going to be that big, all things considered, but Houston's had a pretty big draw. PA Speed Week's happening right now, too, so we'll pay attention to that. Of course, Ron Silk getting the big win at Riverhead and the NASCAR mods, too. And what a lot of people thought was a really boring race, but I don't know. Fucking cares. Shut the fuck up. It's modified. It's cool. It's Uncle Rob's short track rundown, I guess.
The only short track stuff I can even kind of mention is I watched more of the dirt series, and episode 2 is weird. Real weird. I didn't think I was going to talk about this on the show, but I guess I have to now. The relationship between Justin Grant and his wife is something to behold.
Some That's power dynamics. Really, yeah.
Just they won't talk about how they met, which means they definitely got drunk and hooked up in a bar night one. That had to have happened because they said it was not PG how they met. So that tells you enough. But then also, so Justin's married to Bobby Jones's daughter, and throughout this whole thing, she talks about being turned on by watching her husband win, and that is just so weird to me as someone who grew up in racing, I guess. I don't know why. There's a whole weird dynamic going on there.
You do hate racing. So.
It's just weird, man. It's nothing to do with racing. It's just fucking weird. It is weird to me. It is strange. That's all I'm saying. So.
Oh, I enjoy them.
Someone who's been to a lot of therapy, I'm just, like, confused by that whole deal.
I kind of want to start watching now, just...
Oh, you gotta watch.
It's good. It's good.
You guys reacting to.
It's very. If it's the show itself, regardless of the weird shit that I've witnessed, is very good. But no,
I'm
episode
just in it
two.
For the weird shit.
Well, just watch episode two then, because it's weird.
Yeah, it's a great show. It really is.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know what my dog is freaking out about something right now. I don't know if it's a neighbor or the mailman, but I'm hoping he stops, because I don't know if you guys can hear it.
That's quiet. Really.
Okay, well, good.
How's the new cat, by the way, before we move on here?
Yeah, how many times have you lost it since last week?
Yeah.
The kitten has not gotten out at all since. I actually had a buddy come over today.
Or back in, for that matter.
Nah, kitten's fine. Leave the kitten alone. Kitten's been chilling on my lap quite a bit, and
that's good.
We're bonding, so
no.
We're good there.
Well, that's what you love to hear, so... Mm-hmm.
The wholesome content for this week.
It's true.
Now on to Uncle Kenny.
Well, that was wholesome too.
It was.
And honestly, yeah, it kind of usurped my Darf of the Week, which, by the way, I don't, like I said, I don't have a specific Darf of the Week, but I guess we can just get that out of the way. My Darf of the Week is anyone who bitched about the NBC broadcast. Where it's like, oh, Dale's voice is annoying. They talk too much. It's like, you motherfuckers just don't like anything. Shut the fuck up.
Were people complaining?
Oh,
all
yeah.
I saw was praise.
Yeah, a lot of people were complaining about it. And, you know, it's just, like, back on how terrible the coverage is. And, I mean it was, like, getting your head pulled above water.
I feel like their coverage made that race even...
Well, that's the thing. They
better.
Did.
Like, they were showing battles throughout the field. They utilized that split screen a ton, which is helpful. Like,
yeah, Steve Letarte mastering this sort of cutaway car thing that Larry Mack does. And, they did a great job. And, again, like, I've praised NBC for their IndyCar shit. And there'll be, of course, you can criticize anything if you look at it hard enough. But, yeah, I don't think there's a much better way you could cover a race than that.
I'll say that I don't love Rick Allen. Because he's not a racing guy. Insane. I just don't love his voice. But other than that, I mean, I don't even hate him. I just don't love him.
He's been around for like 30 years, though. So he kind of is a racing guy by default now.
I guess that's fair.
I think he plays the part of, you know, being the sort of everyman. But he knows what he's talking about. People don't give Rick Allen enough credit. But, you know, he's got a producer in his ear trying to be the guy who talks to the entire country and lets Dale and everybody else kind of do the job. But... I don't know. I'll take a Benny Parsons type like Dale any day.
Yeah.
Over,
the only guy I don't
that.
Like is the pit reporter. What's his name? Like Dave?
Dave Moody? Not Dave Moody.
No, not Dave Moody. He's an incredible broadcaster.
God, what the fuck is
that's a different combo.
But
I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of his name.
What don't you like about him?
He's no Dick Bergeron, that's for sure.
Listen to him. I mean,
to his ass.
The questions he asks sometimes, I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wonder how much of like what those people do is their own volition, or if they're like allowed to have a little bit of a free, leashless experience, or like what's being fed into their ear from the director or whatever. You know,
Dave Burns. That's his fucking
Dave Burns.
Name.
Yeah. Damn.
Sorry. But other than that, like NBC and Fox, like it's like night and day.
It really is.
The experience. I read some tweet. It said, unlike Fox, NBC treats me like the adult I am. And it's...
There's no better way you can put it than that.
Yeah.
I will say this, when you go to the racetrack, if you have a scanner on you, which first-time listeners or race fans, or like if you're going to Atlanta with these guys and you've never gone before, make sure you bring like a police scanner or something like that, or I don't even know, like pay your phone bill so maybe if it works you can listen to the NASCAR scanner and listen to the television broadcast, the raw feed. And I don't know if that's going after the NASCAR app or not, but when you have a scanner you can like tap into that. And listening to Dale Jr. and those guys, and even the Fox broadcast, becomes infinitely better when you can hear them on commercial break, because they just kind of run their mouths and they kind of point out what they're going to talk about, and they'll bring up things that you didn't even notice were happening that may or may not bring the broadcast. I may have even talked about this on the show before, so I apologize if I have, but I remember one year at Loudon, like Brad Keselowski lost his brakes, like he just burned through them, and he was lifting at the start finish line. and then kind of pedaling through the corners and like trying to make it and cool his brakes off so he could get them restored to some sort of level of usage. And Dale like harped on that for an entire commercial break, and then they eventually did mention it on the broadcast, but it was fascinating to watch him sort of just through that lay out the entire lay of the land and like why guys were choosing what lines they were and entry points for braking and etc. And yeah, that stuff doesn't always make the broadcast, but it's always really eye-opening to listen to the television broadcast and MRN too on commercial breaks, and they cuss a lot, which is really funny. So
well, it's yeah. You mentioned that, and then also I you know, when I'm looking for old races you know, on YouTube and whatnot, there are quite a few of those. Yeah, there's quite a few out there that have like satellite feeds, which to me I don't enjoy quite as much as the ones with all the commercials. But again, you get to hear that insight. I will say probably the best example that I have for one to go and watch is the Watkins Glen race where J.D. McDuffie dies.
Oh yeah.
During the red flag portion of that, all that footage is on YouTube, and it's the only place that you're going to see the full speed replay of that wreck, because they don't ever show it at full speed during the actual broadcast, and it is stunning because the car hits so fast and stops dead so quickly.
Yeah.
The car like literally floats in the air for about 2 seconds because that's how quick and hard that impact was.
I guess the only point of comparison is Jimmy Johnson's wreck in that Busch car when he hit the foam.
Oh yeah, but not,
This is nothing like that. That was awful.
My point being though is like that. Again, it's any time you can get insight as to what's going on in the broadcast that you're not supposed to hear. Like sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's weird, sometimes it's insightful, but definitely worth checking out if you have the ability to check it out.
Yeah, I'm not much of a team scanner guy when I'm at the racetrack. I'm always locked into the television broadcast or MRN, depending on if it's a PRN weekend, it's always TV. If it's NBC, I'm usually listening to that broadcast when I'm there.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say at Martinsville when I went a couple years ago, that really dog shit race, the first year of the next gen car, just listening to the broadcast shit on the short track package, with Chad Knaus and Mike Joy and all them, and Clint Boyer just shitting on it. And Chad Knaus didn't realize he was on air. And there. He's like, oh, and like Mike just like, yeah, we're gonna go to commercial break, and he's like, wait, we were on the air, and he's like, oh yeah, buddy.
I will say, as someone who owns a scanner and also has a scanner app, that it's cool to listen to that stuff, but it's also not as interesting as you would think it is, because half the time you're not actually going to hear the stuff you want to hear.
Yeah.
Those drivers and team members, they have multiple different channels they speak on, and with both the scanner app and an actual scanner, you only get access to like one of those channels.
This is channel one. Yeah.
Yeah, so like you half the time you don't even hear anything cool. You just hear like, you know, maybe some chatter from a spotter, or you know, a quick communication between, you know, the crew chief and the driver, but it's very rare that you actually hear cool stuff. Sometimes you do, but you know, more often than not, you just hear stuff that's
A lot of the stuff from like Radioactive and all the radio excerpt shows or whatever, that's all from Channel 2.
So, yeah, and unfortunately they combed through that. So, but let's go back to the whole Kenny thing. Was that the whole Kenny convo?
Well, this is why we're talking about Texas Roadhouse in the first place. And I think True Love and I were both very taken aback by this because it was just so wholesome and positive. And you don't really see that very much in 2023, but Kenny posts this this Garfield meme of Garfield with a big old fucking gut full of what I assume is lasagna in the original context. I just want to pull it up so I can get his exact text here. So give me one moment. People leaving Texas Roadhouse, leaving with the all caps. And it's just Garfield, this big old fucking gut. And people just loved the shit out of it. I loved it too. I liked that tweet. I really like it a lot. I agree. I love Texas Roadhouse. It's probably, I was saying to you guys earlier today, it's definitely, I don't know if it's my favorite corporate steak chain, but it's definitely my favorite overall mall side restaurant to go to now. Texas Roadhouse, baby.
They usually have one or two NASCAR things hanging up on the walls, too.
Yep, and then you can watch sports in there, and it's pretty affordable for what it is. You can get steak and shrimp for about $20, which, you know, in this economy, Jesus, who cares where it came from? But and those, that sweet butter they have, my God.
Honey butter, whew.
Mmm, girl, I'm telling you, yeah. So, yeah, I really appreciate Kenny sharing and shining a light on his love for Texas Roadhouse, because, you know, he came out of there full as a tick, too. Yeah. Just like I did last time I went, and just like all of y'all will when you go there. But
yeah, every comment under that one was just...
Yeah, not an ounce of negativity. You know, it was great.
Just a whole lot of boomers just praising all of their Texas Roadhouse experiences.
Yeah, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Kenny, healing the world.
Well, Texas Roadhouse healing the world, but Kenny just being the John the Baptist in the wilderness, I suppose. If you want to get biblical with it.
Well, it's not.
No. I guess I do have a Dark of the Week. I'm in some NASCAR group, and I don't know, people always like to talk about Bud Light and tranny fluid and all that nonsense. You know, I don't care how you feel about any of that shit, but somebody was upset about Bud Light, and then somebody asked, like, well, why are you upset about people having equal rights? And a guy posts a photo of some dude just, like, swinging his penis in these tidy whities at a pride parade. And he's like, if you like that, then fuck you. And just the image was so funny to me that it was just on, like, a NASCAR page that I don't know. Maybe I'll have to post it on Instagram because it was so fucking funny to me. But, like, just to have that photo or that gif on just ready to fire out in an instant.
He couldn't wait for his chance to use
It is a raw photo, I'll say that.
But yeah, I could probably see the same thing on Talladega Boulevard.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Yeah, the X lot at Loudon, same thing. Like, everybody good?
Hello?
That was it. Brian's
pondering that image.
Fiercely looking for that photo. Let me see this. It's raw, folks.
The actual GIF where it moves back and forth.
From behind, you know. I think the guy was pissed because there were kids there, which I don't know. I guess I can understand that.
This fucking
kids
photo.
Telling
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, they probably take their kids to Hooters too. So
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a whole, listen, Derek Bentley at the Wilkesboro race was talking about...
He was swinging his penis around?
No, he was talking about titties with his 9-year-old kid, so, like, how is that cool? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
it's just people draw weird lines, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, well.
So that's the Kenny convo and the Darf convo. Is that it for that segment of the show? Then I just want to make sure before we move on to
just one final fuck you to everybody who complained about that broadcast. Like, seriously, if you didn't like that that race, like, because that race was fucking great. You know, that is this car running at its optimal performance. Like, is designed to do this shit. And the race itself was great. There are multiple grooves. Like, whatever they did to that place, I guess there was, like, resin all over the track, at least in the corners, from what I gather, which was what was making multiple lanes happen. And that three-wide battle with Truex and Chastain and all them for, like, four laps, like, get the
crazy
fuck out of here, man. Like, absolutely insane. So if you didn't like that, then, yeah, I don't know. I suggest finding something else to watch, because that's about as good as NASCAR gets these days. So
yeah, maybe take yourself to Texas Roadhouse and cheer the fuck up.
Yeah, get yourself some of that butter and rub it on your body and moisture up and get one of them. What do they call the blooming onion there? The
what? Oh, it's like the poor man's knockoff version.
But it's better because it's saltier. Go to Texas Roadhouse. Meet me at Texas Roadhouse.
new podcast coming soon.
Once we get the C&D from Applebee's, we're going to move on down the line. Yep. So. But video of the week now.
Video of the week.
This is a good one, Matt. I'm really excited for this one.
It's called the Cactus Blossom.
That's it. The Cactus Blossom. Yeah.
I kind of like that name better, although it doesn't necessarily sound as appetizing, I guess. It makes it sound like you're going to eat a cactus. I don't want to eat a fucking cactus.
Well, you ever had cactus flowers, though?
No.
It's very good.
I haven't. Not at all.
They don't
all right.
Have
well, I'm just saying.
Ohio.
You can. Yeah. I know you guys don't have plants in Ohio. Just dust and radon. But
what?
Out west we have. Well, in your part of Ohio, anyway.
I was going to say, no, you were the part of Ohio.
The nice part of Ohio. Yeah,
the part of Ohio you were in might not have that shit.
There's
this
trees.
Part of Ohio is okay.
But yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, cactus flowers are delicious. So.
Okay. So, video of the week this week. We're back to actual race cars, but a topic we haven't covered at all, drag racing.
It's more than drag racing, though, too. I love this video because it encompasses so much. And it's sort of like the camaraderie and the respect between different disciplines. Because basically, from what I get from this whole thing, and we'll wrap it up in a nice little bow later on, but like, if you're a racer of any degree, you probably have the same screw loose. And that's sort of what I gather from this video, which, Brian, I'll let you introduce.
Some screws are just a little more loose than others.
That's a fact, including John Forces, who has lost all of his screws, but
oh,
that's
yeah.
who this video is about.
Those babies rattled out a long time ago.
I've been wanting to do a video about John Force for quite some time, and you know, this is so far the best one that I could find that was worth watching in one sitting, because there are some compilations of like... interviews and stuff from post races that are well worth watching on YouTube, but they're kind of either broken up or like 2 hours long. So if you want, just YouTube John Force and you're going to find a bunch of entertaining shit coming up. But
that's a fact.
We watched a episode of Neil Bonnet's Winners, which was a TNN show from the early 90s that basically just highlighted stars from different disciplines of motorsports. And John was not...
It's NASCAR heavy for the most part. But.
NASCAR heavy, but, you know, John was not the first drag racer.
No.
He might have been the last, though, because this was one of the last episodes to ever air.
Yeah.
This was released in 1995. So real quick, I'll say this, because I was trying to do my research watching this, and I cannot figure out the exact timeline where all these clips came from. Because this was released in 94, after Neil had already died. But a lot of the footage, I don't think, was from 93. And, like, I was looking at the timeline.
It was from 90, wasn't it? 1990.
Well, that's the thing, is, like... It was. I feel like it was filmed early, but then there's also stuff that was filmed from like 91, 92.
Because they were talking about him winning the championship in 90, I believe.
Yes, we'll get
here.
To that,
he
but
had
it's
like the 1990 champion jacket on and all that footage. So
there is, but then there's some other stuff. I mean, he drove an Oldsmobile up until 95, so.
Yeah.
I can't totally place it, but it was weird to me that if all this stuff was filmed in 1990, it wasn't released until 94. Regardless, this is right when John Force's career really started to turn up. So John, for those who don't know much about John Force, John has been in drag racing since the early 70s, and
he's still around.
He's still
winning.
Around. Yeah, still won. He won last year.
74 years old.
Hot daughters who win as well. Putting that out there.
Well, I think one of them is retired now, but I think Courtney still races. I forget which one, Courtney or Ashley, still races, but one of them's done.
I don't follow the NHRA, excuse me, too closely, but Courtney's still out there. She's also married to Graham Rahal in the family business.
There you go.
So.
Anyway, so John Force, again, this show... spoiler alert, so John won the 1990 title, and again, a lot of this footage talks about that time period, but John went on to win every title from 1990 to 2002, except for 92. It's every single one.
Yeah.
and then a handful
insane.
Of them afterwards. But this video, it kind of starts out with, I thought this was an interesting quote from Neil, that John was a relentless competitor, there's three John Forces, a relentless competitor, a wisecracking public figure, and a sensitive, complicated man. Which, that last part, I don't know if I totally agree with, but...
saw him up in that office chair in his tweed jacket, his business sport coat. So.
And surrounded by his kids, who he still to this day is very involved with, obviously.
Yeah.
But really, this episode started out kind of talking about the struggles that John had up until 1990, and also the fact that really up until the late 80s, Funny Car Racing was primarily dominated by Kenny Bernstein and Don Prudhomme, which there's a really cool quick shot of Don Prudhomme just smoking a cig, which I always
that is a cool shot. I agree.
And they moved on to Top Fuel right around 1990, and that's when John took over. They talk about how John would have loved to have those guys be part of that competitive race with him to win that title, but he still thinks he would have won anyways, and based on how the rest of the 90s went, you know, probably would have been true.
But it's one of those things where it's like we were talking about Jonathan Davenport, you know, not counting his first dream win as official because he won it through a DQ. You know, you wanna beat the best. Yeah. You really want to actually beat him, and it's kind of funny to me, like that this is sort of setting the tone for his entire career, and it kind of explains a lot about the way he operates and the way his brain works. Just be dominant all the time. I can't let anybody down. I have to do this, and he just did it for fucking 20 years, which is incredible, and beyond. So,
we hear a quick clip from Steve Evans, who I can't remember if he's actually been a part of any of the videos we've watched before, but he was a guy that had not only drag racing, you know, experience, but he had a lot of monster truck, you know, reporting experience.
We've talked about Diamond P a little bit, but I don't know if it's been featured Diamond in a...
Diamond P did a lot of drag racing stuff before ESPN started filming races, I think, in the 90s. And, yeah, Diamond P also did a lot of monster trucks and tractor pulling and shit, too. Yeah. So,
and you might know his voice from And They Walked Away.
Absolutely. But anyway, so Steve's quote was, his shtick is gone. And then Neil immediately follows that up is, what's a shtick? I'm from Alabama. Completely, I got a kick out of that.
This man's from Alabama.
There's footage of this crash that he had at the Brainerd race, I think in 1990, where the car is on fire and he's like slowly driving down the track with his car on fire, trying to put the fire out and get the thing stopped. And he still ended up winning the title that year. And John had been through a lot of fiery crashes. And to this day, I mean, I think even last year he might have flipped a car. There's footage of his wife, Lori, who I thought that was his first wife, but it turns out it's his only wife.
She's got one? Yeah.
I thought
a calm demeanor to her compared to...
I think when you're a person like John, you kind of got to have somebody like that in your life to kind of help you turn it down when the cameras are off and you're not around people. So
when John becomes Jonathan.
A couple other little quick tidbits. This isn't the first time I've seen them involved in drag racing, but John was sponsored by Easy Whiter Rolling Papers, which I got a kick out of that. And then they also talk about how he had polio as a kid, but still was like an athlete in school. And he brought that same attitude into drag racing because he wanted to win. He wanted to be a competitor. He talks about all the struggles and things he had to do to actually race, you know, because again, he didn't come from money. He was just a working class guy who loved racing and out in California in the 70s. He was a salesman, which who would have thought John Force was a fucking salesman?
Yeah. Biggest reveal of the whole thing. No one would have guessed.
Good Lord. both his wife and his crew chief, Austin Coyle, say he's like a time bomb. He's just this explosion of energy that he's very easy to set off. And even to this day, like, he has those moments. Like, you know, I think the last win he had last year, he gets out the car and just starts screaming and he just runs into the crowd and shit. And again, the man's 70. That's just who he is. And that's why, I mean, I've only had one job in motorsports, and it's been in drag racing. But I've never really been a massive fan of drag racing. Like, I think the cars are beautiful. I think the science involved in making them go as fast as they are is insane. And especially getting to actually be up close and in the pits and, you know, witness that stuff firsthand was wild. Absolutely. But that said, it's kind of like golf to me in that, you know, a lot of nothing going on, and all of a sudden there's 5 seconds, and then it's a lot of nothing going on until the next race. And you know... John was the guy that really made me pay attention as a kid because, again, he is such an infectious personality and such a you know, really just shines a spotlight on the sport in general, having him around.
Well, it's kind of funny, like, watching this footage, especially from, like, 1990-91, where he's definitely John Force, and you can tell that that guy is in there, but he's not quite the character John Force yet. Like, he hasn't become 100% comfortable being... He's still trying to prove himself, and he hasn't really, like, earned the right, as weird as that is to say, like, to be completely himself 100% of the time, which he very quickly does not long after that championship, when he just, you know, stomps a new asshole in the entire field for 20 years. But yeah, it's interesting to see him be almost reserved for his standards, but still, like, be animated as fuck, and, you know, 30 times more animated than what you'll see in NASCAR or NHRA today.
Yeah, there is not one driver. I mean, I would say Kenny Wallace now is maybe a little bit comparable to John Force and how excited he can get at times, but I mean, there's not been one NASCAR driver, I think, in the history of the sport that can really come anywhere close to the energy.
I would put money on John Force being an influence on Kenny learning how to unhinge the way that he does.
That's probably true.
If I can get a chance to talk to him, I will ask him that question, and I will let you all know, and then we can make this bet official. But yeah, I would put some good money on the fact that maybe he saw him and was like, you know what, I'm old, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to say whatever I want and be exciting and make this thing something to watch. And, you know, that's what John has done for as long as I've been alive. So,
And he even says himself, I describe myself as crazy. When
everyone they interviewed used that word to describe him.
Yeah, he's fucking nuts. He is. I mean, Look at his appearance on the Dale Jr. Download a couple years ago, where he talks about discovering Pornhub. Like,
yeah, that's an all-time quote right there.
Yeah. I mean, he's nuts. You know, another good.
Brian says he may not get hard at the racetrack anymore, but John Force. I got a steel trap brain here, buddy. I remember 20 minutes ago we talked about that shit. It's been a long episode.
Anyways, another good quote he says is, there's people in the that's there's people in other countries that don't get to own their cars, and we get to race ours. So I thought that was a nice patriotic line for 1991. There's some footage of some fans talking about why they like John Force, and some guy with glasses and a mustache. I like his look. There we go. That's great. there's a nice little interview with Austin Coyle, who was really the guy that helped get him to this point in racing, as his car chief, whatever you want to call it. Austin says he knows John knows very little mechanically about the cars, and I know very little about making the money to do it. So they were a perfect combo, and that's why they're, you know, when they got together in the late 80s, that's why they became this, you know, undefeatable team. And funny enough, there's actually a commercial that ran, I think probably 96 or 97, but it's in a bunch of the old broadcasts that I've watched, where John has this. There's a commercial for Autolite spark plugs where the whole plot of the commercial is him talking about switching spark plug manufacturers because another brand wanted to give him more money. And Austin's like, no, like, this is like, this part spark plug is how we win. And it's like, just the fact that even that relationship is highlighted in a commercial to me is crazy. Like, I don't feel like you see that as often now. I mean, you kind of did. I can think back to where Haviland did a bunch of commercials with both Davey and Ernie Irvin that featured, like, Robert Yates. And there's one where there's a shot of, like, Larry McReynolds speaking to Ernie or something, and it's very clearly not Larry's voice they use for the voiceover, but that's a totally
how can you fake that?
We're talking about John Force now, but yeah. Anyways, after this, you know, there's some footage of John Force with his kids and his family, and just kind of shows that other side of him. There's bathtub footage with his children and whatnot, which is
a little.
Yeah. Hey, it's shirtless John Force. Wasn't necessarily expecting to watch that in this, but
bubbles in the tub.
Mm-hmm. But are you surprised?
No, not one bit.
And then here's where I think. Oh, go ahead.
What did keep catching me off guard was the crew member in full crew gear with, like, the Angel Halo neck brace.
Yes,
I missed that. I'm
yeah, he had
go
like the broken
that.
Neck. Like the yeah, he was
they
just walking around out there
multiple times, like working on the car with this full Angel yeah. Halo neck brace on him.
Yeah, of all the men to present with no context, that is certainly one of them. And good God. Yeah, that man probably should not have been walking around the pits of a fucking drag strip. No. But
I know. Well, I'll save this for the. Did you guys watch the second clip that I sent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Okay. So then we'll that's we'll say that for the end then.
Oh, Brian.
Oh.
I think we lost Brian.
He's gone.
We've lost Brian.
Well. R.I.P.
Yeah, he's gone. We were about to talk about this other video, which we'll post a link to. It's of I think Brian might be back now, but it's a video of Neil Bonnet testing, or sorry, not Neil Bonnet, but John Forrest testing a Winston Cup car. And it's pretty cool. So we'll be sure we post a link to that here. Whenever Brian comes back, or
maybe he probably doesn't realize he's gone. He's still talking about.
Yeah, he's just John running Forrest. His mouth right now.
Yeah, there was a quote in that first video from Neil. He says something like, "If you have any idea what I'm doing here, please write me in Hueytown, Alabama."
Yeah,
he said John Forrest is killing me. It's just this long thing of John just talking his ear off about nothing that makes any sense.
Yeah, I do love that. It was like him and like a sponsor or something like that. Yeah, oh no, it was the president of the NHRA.
The president, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say this, and when Brian comes back, I'm sure I'll have to say it again, but like the Winners series with Neil Bonnet is just so good. And there's a lot of episodes out there. I think almost the entire series is on YouTube. And it's just a really nice window into that era of particularly Winston Cup racing, but definitely like other forms of motorsports. And really, it's just a nice little window into why Neil Bonnet was such a revered guy, you know. Yeah. He was really, really deeply loved by a lot of folks in NASCAR and all the fans, and myself included, you know, as an Alabama gang guy.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, that's loud.
What the I restarted my shit like six times. I don't know what the fuck happened there. Nothing got unplugged. I don't know.
That's all good. I was just sharing my love for Neil Bonnet and saying how much the folks out there should listen or watch all of the episodes of Winners they can. But this is a really wonderful starting point.
Any show that starts out in like a wood panel basement with a bar and deer heads and
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of those points. But what I was talking about before everything shit the bed, the very end of the episode, and this is where my research kind of got confusing. He talks about like finally winning the title, but then also redlining his final race of the year and yeah. being pissed off about that. So yeah, I guess it had to have been 1990 because like I thought maybe he meant 92.
It
was definitely not 92. So yeah, I guess it's again so weird that all this footage is so old and they just got to use it now. But yeah, like the guy wins the title finally, he's pissed off about, you know, fucking up his last race, which meant nothing anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, he's going to go out there and get a trophy for not doing the job on that particular day, you know, which I get that.
Yeah, but you did the job all year, you know, like that's, I get it. And, you know, I get it as a competitor, like you don't want to make a mistake like that when you're finally about to celebrate this year-long victory you had. But, you know, I thought it was interesting that he was so passionate about that one little loss that didn't even mean anything at the end. But,
yeah, it's certainly a nice little window into, you know, John Forrest and his drive and why he is the way he is and why he's still out there doing it. And God damn it, he will die at the racetrack, you know, hopefully not on the, you know, on the track by any means, but like, I don't think there's any place he'd rather go than being on the facility and doing what he loves doing, you know? And, the guys, there's not many people like that in this world.
Yeah.
So we got to enjoy John Forrest as long as we can, you know?
Yeah.
So now we'll step back a tiny bit in this episode, which will kind of segue into the second clip. They show a little bit of footage from this NASCAR versus NHRA charity softball game that was
brutal.
Yeah, it was an honor.
I want to know who that one driver, that NASCAR driver, was that like
cleaned John Forrest out.
I was like,
I have to look up the next thing I look up after. this video of the week is going to be that game, because it's so funny that this game was brought up in these videos, because I literally last week I got a t-shirt from that fucking game, like as part of a big pile of other t-shirts I bought from this old NASCAR graphic designer. So really weird that now we're talking about the game itself. But yeah, there's some footage of that game, and John kind of talks about beating and banging with NASCAR, which is something that you don't really do in NHRA. And I found a second clip that actually uses that same footage and mentions John Force. Like, he says something to the effect of, I'll never be in a stock car. I forget what the exact line he uses.
You'll
never get me one of those tin cans. Cue footage of John at Buck Baker's driving school, where both Buck and Buddy Baker were his instructors. It's only a 4-minute clip. It's very brief.
Yeah.
But I think one of the main highlights that I got from it, and it's something that John even himself admitted, was that, like, he's like, I thought, you know, with the reflexes and stuff that I need as a drag racer, I'd be fine in a stock car. And he's like, that all changed once you made it to the curve. Which I think there's been a couple drivers, like you've got John Andretti and Tony Stewart are the two main examples that I can think of guys that went over to drag racing from, you know, other aspects of motorsports. You know, I think when John was doing it, at this point he'd already been in NASCAR and IndyCar, and, you know, obviously we all know Tony's history, but you really don't see anybody come from drag racing into other disciplines of motorsports. So, and I think there's probably a reason why for that. And again, this isn't a slight on drag racing, it's just they're two such, like, stark night and day differences as far as the types of motorsports they are. And while some of the skills that you need as a drag racer might transfer over to stock cars, it's very little. The exact opposite way for drag racing. Like, you need all the shit that you need in stock car racing works well for drag racing, but really as a driver, you know, I feel like the main thing you need is good reaction time in drag racing. So if you have that in a stock car, you'll probably do at least okay in drag racing. But in this brief clip, I think the other real highlight is Buddy Baker. The night before they were to do this, I got on the phone with John and talked to him for a bit, and he just casually, like, he's like, I thought tomorrow's going to be a nightmare. Like, just his delivery of that line, I absolutely floored me. I love that. But then he said John kind of got it, and I think by the end of the clip, John's like, oh, we'll see you in Rockingham next year. So I just thought that was fun and interesting little clip to throw in there. Like, when's the last time you saw a drag racer in a stock car, let alone John Force? So that'll be the second little video of the week we throw up on the playlist.
Yeah, it's a fun little bonus. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoy those videos, because again, I think even if you're not a drag racing guy, John Force is such a big personality that really can't be denied. I mean, yeah, even outside of motorsports, I think he's probably out of sports in general, he's got one of the biggest personalities of all
time.
That's
for sure. Real quick before we move on, I just want to shine a light on Cruz Pedregon, because he is a drag racer who does race midgets and has done the Chili Bowl and brings cars. And
I never knew that.
Some crossover. And Gio Selzy, of course, his dad, Gary Selzy, was an NHRA guy too. So there's some crossover. Oh, but yeah, for the most part, you don't really see a ton of it. But yeah, Cruz Pedregon is probably the big guy.
And now that you mentioned Selzy's name, Selzy was in the in that one charity race that we watched not too long ago.
That's right. And for current NASCAR watchers, or at least Truck Series viewers, the Gray brothers both had pro stock careers, and Tanner Gray actually won a title. So there you go.
No shit.
But yeah, it's not common. Not to shut you down, and you know, with facts and all that, but it's true. You don't see a ton of crossover other than just like pure fandom. Because I know a lot of drag racers really love, especially like midget racing and that sort of thing, from a fan standpoint. But yeah, they're just such different disciplines. you know, I imagine going from an Indy car to a stock car, or a stock car to a midget or whatever. Like, it's not an easy transition, but when you actually are, you know, from going 300 miles an hour in a straight line to, you know, having to turn at Martinsville, I imagine that's pretty fucking insane.
Yeah, putting together a 500-mile race versus...
Oh, and John Andretti, too. We can't forget about John Andretti. He ran Top Fuel for a couple years and...
I mentioned
one
him,
a little bit.
Fucker.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, here you go, John Andretti.
I actually have a, I have a John Andretti Taco Bell Top Fuel Dragster T-shirt.
Oh, that's so cool. Read his book, by the way. It's very good. Racer by John Andretti. It's very good.
Yeah, I want to check that out for sure.
You really went all out on that title, huh?
Yeah, they picked five letters. Happened to be those five. Yeah, one more than the Bubba Wallace documentary. So we're going to Chicago.
Oh, boy.
You guys excited? I'm kind of excited, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I like something a little new and different. I mean, I'm not going to shit on it.
I guess,
I'm kind of curious to just watch it.
Same. I kind of feel like my big gripe has evolved from, you know, we shouldn't be doing this to, like, I just wish it wasn't a points race. You know, put the all-star race on the streets. You know, I'd almost rather see the Coliseum be a points event than a street race like this, because it's just, right. That's a step too far almost for me. But I don't know. Like, I get it. It's going to be fun to watch, and I'm definitely not going to not watch it. Right. And, you know, I mean, these cars are essentially fucking V8 supercars. Essentially the same chassis and a lot of the same geometry and all that. So those guys put on great shows at street courses. So it could be fun. So,
but NASCAR hasn't really put on a good road course race in a while. So there is that. And I think it sucks that all the controversy of the city itself, really almost, I wouldn't say overshadows the fact that it's happening, but the fact that it's part of the conversation sucks. The fact that we have to deal with people like Brett Griffin and a bunch of other racist assholes being calling it Chirac or whatever, that's fucking lame. But it is what it is. I can't say I'm excited about it, but I
didn't see that.
What's that?
The Chirac thing.
Oh, Chirac. That's the Chirac thing. That's been called that long before this whole NASCAR deal got announced.
I said it last week, though. We just went to St. Louis, so I'm sorry. Like, that's arguably as violent. So.
Yeah, well.
At least Chicago will be able to keep the power on, so.
That's true. That's very true. But yeah, I mean, it'll be something. It's a spectacle. Like, my neighbor across the street who doesn't really watch NASCAR at all, he saw a commercial for it last week and was like, oh, shit, I gotta watch that. So, it says something. You're definitely gonna turn some heads, so yeah. I'm sure it's gonna...
Speaking of V8 supercars, Shane Van Gensbergen is starting for Trackhouse. He's gonna drive that 91, the Project 91 car. And like I said, I don't know if he's going to be a threat to win per se, but I would say out of all the guys we've started in this car, he might have the best shot straight out of the gate, because this thing is very similar to a V8 supercar, and that's what he dominates in. So, mm-hmm. Be interesting.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Is there any? Is it just NASCAR in Chicago this week too, or is?
Oh no!
Indy's at Mid Ohio, which.
You're not going to that?
I probably won't go to that, to be honest. I think I got to reserve something for the weeks prior, the weeks after this. As much as I have become a bit appreciative of IndyCar, like, I'm going to be going there the next week for trucks and all that. So I'll probably just stay. No. I would like to watch. If I go to that, then I'm going to miss half the Chicago race, and I kind of want to watch that. So
that's fair. There's a lot of short track racing coming up tonight, if you're listening to this, because this releases on a Wednesday. Cars Tour at Caraway on Flow Racing. Kyle Larson is running a late model, and all the cars races are always really good anyway, so if you have the ability to watch that, I recommend it. That's probably my Uncle Rob's short track race of the week, I suppose. World of Outlaw late models are happening all throughout the week. They're at where are they at? Red River, I think. And then Millbridge is also running probably tonight, so that'll be done by the time you guys listen to this shit. But yeah, there's racing all over the place, so if you have the ability to watch it, make sure you do. But in Chicago is a nice little Sunday, which I gotta be honest, I'm pretty fucking annoyed the 4th of July is on a Tuesday. Because I got to have a whole weekend, and then I got to work on Monday, and then I'm back off again. Fucking stupid.
Tuesday is already my day off, so it's fine, I guess. Like, it just means the post office won't be open that day. That's about it.
Yeah, damn. So put your orders in now, folks.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think that wraps up this week's trip to Applebee's. As always,
Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse, excuse me, sorry, wrong restaurant. You can find us as always at Meet Me at Applebee's on Instagram and Meet Me at DeBees on Twitter. Speedway screens on all the things and speedwaytsj.etsy.com.
Woo, that's good. Mm-hmm. How about you, True Love?
It's still Snake Mountain _ True Love.
Hasn't changed.
Still that, yeah.
7 days and it hasn't changed.
You might want to after some of those DMs you keep getting, I guess.
Yeah, I really do, but...
Yeah, you've got quite the cesspool collecting there. Might want to get Roto-Rooter in there and get them pipes cleaned out in the old DMs. But Rob Motes _unofficial on Instagram and Twitter and all that. Again, I don't do fuck all on the internet other than this. So, but if you do DM us, I'm probably the guy talking to you. So make no mistake about it.
It's not me.
It's occasionally me, but it's usually Rob.
Yeah. I'll change my voice. Just imagine what I'm saying in True Love's voice if you're trying to talk to her, and then that'll be good.
I got my own DMs to worry about.
All right, folks. Well, thank you again for tuning in, and we will talk to y'all next week.
Amen. See you at Texas Roadhouse, motherfuckers.